Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Hit a scorecard. I'm Shane. That's Patrick and Johnson. Johnson, my guy, the master of picks, a man that has faded a singular human all season long. And that's the guy that won in Dallas. And I know you walked with him the last two rounds, Wags?
Last two rounds, yep.
Got a chance to see Wyndham Clark up close and personal. Got a chance to see him shoot 60. Was there any indication that he had an idea that you had basically faded him all season?
No, I didn't get that at all from him, Shane. I talked to him a couple times on Saturday. He was pretty locked in Sunday, and I was staying out of the way. No, he seems fine with me. Hopefully he doesn't hear about this, but Patrick nailed it last week when he picked him to win, and he said, and oh, by the way, what's going to be the icing on top of the cake is that you're going to be walking with him. And that's exactly what happened. But guys, like, he showed me something different those last two rounds. I talked a lot about how much curvature he plays on the driver, moving it way harder left to right than he needs. I saw a very much straighter ball flight. He drove it incredibly well. His iron play was great. Some of the shots he can hit around the greens, too, are outstanding. And, oh, by the way, he putted like Wyndham Clark of 2 years ago. So it was the full package. And I'm eating my words. Congrats to you, Patrick, on the winner. And I just want to say that when he got his first win at Wells Fargo in 23, he went on a nice run, obviously winning the U.S. Open and then stayed hot for Pebble, was in the hunt at the Players' Championship. Wyndham's a streaky guy, so I'm now not going to be putting him on my can't win list anymore. When he plays in the fields, he may make the can win list.
Ooh, how about that? Patrick picked him to win. I was not a part of the show last week, Patrick. I think you leaned heavily into it and got the dub. It feels like if you're struggling with putting, just take a trip to Craig Ranch and it'll cure all your woes.
Yeah, I mean, you said you have the same putter in the bag. Is that right? What Wyndham's using? Are you making 400 feet of putts over 4 days like he did?
I mean, depends on how many rounds I'm playing in those 4 days. Play about 10 rounds of golf in 4 days. I could probably make that much of putts.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It's weird. The renovation by Lanny, you saw how crazy some of those greens were. And I know, Johnson, you could probably speak about it. But around the hole, it seemed like it was still very flat out there at that golf course. And really, if you just missed the section where the pin was, that's where the trouble came up. And we saw a lot of lag putting from 50, 60 feet. But if you were able to hit your irons close, the putts were still relatively easy reads. Is that fair to say?
That's exactly right. I mean, some of the getting up onto the tabletops, it was some of the most severe dramatic slopes, but your spot, you hit it the nail on the head there, Patrick. They were flat, easy reads. I mean, I could read them from 30 yards away on the other side of the green. I was like, ooh, that's going to go one ball right to left. They were extremely easy to read. And honestly, like, look at a Ronimink golf club for the PGA Championship. You want to make greens tougher, just have sweet little subtle Donald Ross sort of sections, and you don't need these sharp edges up to the top. I was very disappointed and then what I saw out there as far as spending $25 million and getting that product.
I mean, you know, Johnson, Patrick and I talked about this on Sunday on HQ after the round, and I said this. I mean, You simply cannot make a golf course tougher by investing money into it to lengthen it or add bunkers on corners. I mean, pros are too good these days, and they're just going to figure out another way. And it feels like, I don't know the perfect answer here, and obviously other people don't know the perfect answer either, but if you want to quote-unquote make a place tougher, it's not length off the tee. That doesn't do it. These guys can just carry – they'll just lean heavily into another drive or take a less aggressive line and then hit a – 9-iron instead of a wedge. But I just feel like we're stuck in like 1998 in terms of the way we build golf courses to make them tougher for the modern professional. And it's just not this way. This ain't the recipe is what I'm saying.
It's not the recipe. And I need to just settle down a little bit because I've never seen four consecutive days of that little wind in the state of Texas. Plus the rain leading in made it softer. I'm going to give it one more year before I absolutely crush this golf course, but it is not any better in year one. That's for sure.
I mean, Patrick, Siwoo shoots 64, 60, 68, 65, loses. Scotty, 66, 63, 65, 65, and loses. You and I on Sunday were talking about some of the players that had decent weeks, not great weeks. But I guess my question is, do we take anything from this, or is this 4 days of professional golf on a pretty easy golf course and we just kind of move on?
I think if you're Siwoo, you can take away that your putter – you know, I think the thing with him in these final rounds, he's probably the best player without a win on the PGA Tour this season. He's playing some awesome golf, but it just seems for as aggressive as he is from tee to green, that maybe takes a step back on Sundays. I thought he putted pretty well on Sunday outside of that three putt on eight. I thought the par save on number nine was huge going into the back nine. And then you make 33 birdies, which is what, one or two short of the PGA Tour record, and you lose by three. You shoot what you shot in the final round and you somehow give up your two stroke lead. And so, and then for Scotty, he made 1-5 all week or higher. Like, that's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And so I think, okay, you play great golf, but it's really tough for, I think, the cream to rise to the top in a field like this, just given how easy those reads were on the greens when you're in the right section. So if you play great, I think you can take a lot out of it and some momentum, be like, okay, I got the firepower to go low if needed. And if you didn't, just, you know, you missed the cut and shot 5-under after two rounds. It happens at TPC Craig Ranch. And hopefully, like Johnson said, it's dry next year. There's some wind in this golf course, can't play as designed, but to spend $25 million and go from a winning score of 31-under to 30-under is it's a tough scene. It's a tough scene for Lanny and the membership, I think.
I think I did the math. I think if we get to $750 million, then we can get a winning score of 1-under par. I think that's the progression we can get to. So if you want a U.S. Open level score, it's not quite a bill, but if we get to 750, we'll be right there. Wags, you know, I cover the Korn Ferry Tour a lot. Obviously, I know you've kind of played Korn Ferry Tour golf in your life. This felt very Korn Ferry Tour-esque, where no matter what the lead was, you knew you had to go out on Sunday and shoot 65. Patrick and I were calling 27-under the winning score. I mean, that doesn't even come close on Sunday to get it done. I mean, it was like down the stretch, I legitimately thought that we were going to see 59 from Wyndham, that with the way he was rolling it.
Well, I mean, he went right at it. Frank Nablo on the air said, well, I guess I've got to say it, over his second shot on 18. He said, if this goes in, it's 59. And boy, did he take it right at that flag and scared it for a second. But I was thinking 25 under possibly could have won going into the day Sunday. I did not have Wyndham Clark shooting 60. Still, like, you've got to give guys credit. I know Siwoo had the chance on Friday to shoot 59 and bogey the last, but it's something's got to give out there. It does feel very Korn Ferry Tour-ish, and I think when this golf course was originally built, it was built for the Korn Ferry Tour, so that makes sense that you would liken those two.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think you mix in, I mean, I think something that the PGA Tour, when we think about scheduling, you know, next year, the year after, whatever the case may be, and again, I'm not sure we totally grasp what A-tier tournaments and B-tier tournaments are going to look like, Patrick, but I do like the mix. I do like the idea of, if you go somewhere brutally tough 1 week, I don't hate the idea of seeing low scoring the next week if we have to have places like this on the schedule where guys can shoot 65 every day and still not win.
Yeah, I guess you could say it's a good palate cleanser, a good change of pace, especially with the Ronnemaker and how difficult it seemed like that golf course was. But I know the local writers were hoping this would be a track one event going into 2028. Yeah. But I think the PGA Tour is going to be looking at kind of the historical venues for those and the big time events. And even though Byron Nelson's name is attached to this event, I think that's really the only historical aspect to it, despite what the local people want, which is, you know, unfortunate for them. But like you, Shane, maybe they spend a little more money.
Shane, I got to say, the Salesmanship Club of Dallas, who's the host organization and has been for, you know, the entirety of this golf tournament, they wear red pants, white shirts, red hats every day. They're like the Thunderbirds in Phoenix. They've raised over $200 million over the course of this tournament for this area. Like, if signature events, if tier one events could go to host organizations that do a great job, they also sell the heck out of the place. Corporate hospitality was full every day. There were crowds out there, even with that field. Like, if they could just figure out, I think Dallas is a market for a tier one event. They love their golf here. And I just think there's too many other options in the area that could host it and be a better venue than, unfortunately, TPC Craig Ranch.
Patrick, you called it a palate cleanser. I feel like we use that word a lot. When's the last time you actually had a palate cleanser within your dinner? Like, when's the last time you actually cleansed your palate when you were eating?
You know, I avoid the ginger when I eat sushi.
Not a ginger guy.
Not a ginger guy. Maybe a limoncello shot after an Italian meal. That would classify,
like, when, though?
As a palate cleanser. Oh, when I was in Rome. What was that, like 5 years ago, maybe? So I would say that.
So 5 years, is that?
Yeah, 5 years.
Yeah, I just.
Five what about you? I mean, that's not a common thing. What are the palate cleansers out there?
Ginger's it. That's the only palate cleanser. No. Ginger. That's the only thing I can.
I avoid that.
No.
Is when you're eating.
No. No, when you have like a multi-course meal and they bring out like a little thing of gelato, like a lemon gelato that you eat.
Wags.
After your
Patrick and I are eating
steak.
A Chipotle.
You're going mid dinner gelato.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the best.
Wags is going
cleanser.
To dinner with Trevor and Jim. That's not where we're going to dinner. That's not our world. We're not palate cleanser dinner guys as of now, but maybe one of these days we can get invited to the A+ dinner. All right, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna come back. We're gonna touch on some of the other guys that had a great week in Dallas. Then obviously we're gonna look ahead. We got U.S. Open talk. We're gonna talk President's Cup. I think it's the first time we've said President's Cup on this show this year, and we'll lean into the picks as Wags is stuck at a ranch and has a little golf lined up later this week that I think you got to reveal a little bit about the golf later in the show. So don't go anywhere.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Back here on Scorecard, where every day is a Wyndham Clark day. Wyndham Clark obviously gets his victory at TPC Craig Ranch.
I don't know about that.
I want to ask you guys about Scotty. And I want to present Scotty's season to you. Obviously gets the win out of the gate. Patrick, we're talking 20 wins maybe for Scotty Scheffler this year. He might win everything. Maybe he plays on the President's Cup alone, takes on all 12 international players, has not won since, has three seconds, finishes third here in an event he won last week at the CJ Cup. Are we up, down, medium, mild? What are we in terms of Scotty Scheffler right now with the way he's playing and the way he's finishing?
Well, you said 20. I put it out there that he was going to threaten double digits this year, and I don't even think he has 9 starts left this season, so officially going to be falling short of that prediction. It's been 10 starts since that win at the American Express. I believe it's his longest quote-unquote drought God forbid this guy doesn't win in 10 starts since 2023, I think, which is unbelievable that this guy has been winning at such a clip. I think on Sunday he had some opportunities early to apply some pressure with his wedges in particular, and just did not access any of the correct tiers of the green to give himself any good birdie opportunities alongside Siwoo Kim. So I'm still feeling great about Scheffler. I think his game's getting more and more well-rounded by the week, but I think I'm still waiting for that sustained iron play of his that we've seen the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, his superpower, obviously the approach play, and it's just not been that. I mean, he's obviously driven it poorly to start the season, had the two-way miss going a little bit this past week as well, Johnson. The putter showed up. Obviously, these greens, everybody was putting well on them. But, I mean, I do wonder, like, you see Scotty up close and personal over the weekend. He seems frustrated. He openly is frustrated on the golf course. I don't think that's something new to who Scotty Scheffler is, even though we love not talking about it. He is a passionate professional golfer. Do you see anything like in terms of extra time on the range or a level of frustration from the guy when he walks off golf courses?
No, I really don't. I saw him after the round. We talked about this after Doral. I saw him Saturday after the round, and he was in high spirits. I mean, he had a good he played well, missed a couple putts, but birdied the last. Scotty Scheffler's fine. I think he's raised the bar of professional golf on the PGA Tour, and guys are knowing that they have to go out and play flawlessly to beat him. And unfortunately, that's kind of what's happened here a little bit. But I think Scotty Scheffler would trade that 10-win season for that one win here in his coming up in two starts for him at the U.S. Open. I think he would take that win over having 10 wins this year in a heartbeat. So we'll see if that can be done. And plus, he's got a chance to defend the Open Championship as well. So lots to still play for.
Patrick, what's at this point, what's a good season for Scotty? Like, if we're sitting here in September, what are we considering a good season for Scotty? Is that winning a U.S. Open, winning two more events, so he has four wins total? Like, if he wins one more event that's not a major, that's obviously, we're not going to call that a great season or even a good season by Scotty standards. What do you need to see the rest of the year to consider at the end of this year Scotty had a, let's say, good season, not great season?
Well, I think to be a true world number one, you need to be the number one player on the PGA Tour and win the FedEx Cup. So that has to be circled on Scotty Scheffler's calendar. But I'm with Johnson. If he wins the U.S. Open, we'll forget about this season and just see it as the season that Scotty Scheffler completed the career Grand Slam. He continued to factor in just about every single tournament. So if he knocks that off, it washes any concerns people might have about him not winning in a 10 tournament stretch where he contended seemingly every single Sunday and was in the final pairing every single Sunday. But yeah, if he knocks off a major, that would be great. But I think if he finishes the year with three wins, that's very successful given how consistent he has been, even without his A tippy top iron play throughout the year.
Yeah, this season feels a little, you know, obviously he gets the win out of the gate, but it feels a little like Nelly last year on the LPGA Tour where the stats were really good, but the wins didn't come like they did the year before. Producer Josh threw together the Oh My Goodness They're Alive All-Stars from this week at TPC Craig Ranch. Jackson Super finished in the top five. Didn't have a main event PGA Tour top 25 that counted towards the Tour Championship since the Rocket Classic last June. Good week for Super. Missed the cut at Amex, Puerto Rico, and the Zurich this season. Looks either like John Mayer or Matt Leinart. I can't figure out who it is. Very close to both of those guys. But it was nice to see Wags. Super was kind of letting it go on Saturday, and then I felt like he made a couple of putts late, and then obviously, you know, fired a really impressive final round to move up the board.
He played with Wyndham Clark and Scotty Scheffler Saturday, and I walked with that group, and both Scotty and Wyndham are absolutely sending the driver. And there was a couple holes where Suber was like 15 to 20 by both of them. Didn't realize he had that much power in the tank. He's got really nice touch around the greens. I was super impressed with him. He's got a little bit of a sort of a downward motion in his swing on the downswing. And I think that probably leads to a little bit of ball striking inconsistency. But when you're a player like that and you get hot with the ball striking, you see him turn up in a week like this. And I think he's got a bright future. It's just so hard to be in that position on the PGA Tour where you're not getting start after start after start. You're having these two on, three off stretches, and it's hard to build that momentum, especially when you're a streaky sort of ball striker like he is.
Patrick, continuing on with the Oh My Goodness They're Alive All-Stars, Tony Finau Outfits have got a lot of talk this year. Golf came not so much. Just hasn't played great. Had a top 30 at the. It's the first top 30 since the Valspar for Tony. He's not played a major championship yet this year. I mean, I think for so long with Tony, we just all leaned into the talent, right? The talent, the ball striking, athleticism, all that. At some point, you do have to get the ball in the hole, and it was nice to see Tony have a solid week, finish tied for sixth there at the CJ Cup.
First top 10 of the year, first since the Genesis Invitational, which was at Torrey Pines last season. So only two top 10s between last season and this season. And you mentioned the ball striking. The driver, for some reason, has really abandoned him this year, but looked to be in order last week, and then from there you can kind of open it up, and he's still a really good iron player, I think. But with him, it's going to come down to the putting, and the fact that he made enough putts with, I guess, given how simple these greens were, that probably helped. But I think Finau might surprise some people and maybe get a win this summer. That's going to be my bold prediction going in the back half of this year.
Tony Finau gets a win, doesn't say what golf tournament, but that's what you do in golf. You just present a fact.
Yes.
And a prediction, but you don't have to make it specific. That's
I didn't even say
Patrick
a golf
is a professional.
He's gonna win something.
It's a great point. Fantasy football league. Never know. It's a great idea. How about Hoagie Johnson? This guy, just piles checks up, tied for sixth, made birdie at the first on Sunday. I thought he might be the guy to go out there and shoot 60, but just obviously comfortable in this area playing golf.
Very comfortable, lives in Fort Worth, went to school in Fort Worth. He's going to be, I think, a force probably this week coming up at Colonial. But Tom Hoagie's just a great ball striker. And when you have these sections, we talked about those little sections of the greens. If you can find the right sections, it presented itself with a lot of easy or makeable birdie putts. And that's just what he did. Tom Hoagie's a consistent golfer, makes a ton of cuts week in, week out. And I think he's perfectly happy being a top 25 machine and just piling those checks up.
They pay you. They pay you if you make the cut. That is something that professional golf does. I do want to touch on Blades Brown before we take a break, Patrick. Obviously, a kid that I've been lucky enough to follow on the Korn Ferry Tour the last year and a half or so, tends to love the Go Low golf tournaments. If you remember last year on the Korn Ferry Tour, Veritex, I think Kiefer won at 30 under. Blades finished second there. He's one of those guys, and he talked about it after the Korn Ferry Tour, making it easier on him, but now special temporary membership with the finish. And it seems like right now, Patrick, Blades plays better on the PGA Tour than he is on the Korn Ferry Tour.
And you bring up him like in those low scoring affairs. I mean, he was the leader after 54 holes there at the American Express, right after blitzing those three golf courses too. And in the final pairing with Scottie Scheffler and Siwoo Kim. So it sounds like he's going to continue on the Korn Ferry Tour. I think, it's tough to give a teenager advice, but this guy has such a nice head on his shoulders. I mean, when he's talking to the media, he sounds like he's like Rory McIlroy PR training. It's really impressive stuff. But he moved from number 9 to number 13 in the Korn Ferry Tour rankings. Obviously, the top 20 get their cards. If I was him, I think I'd try to shore up the top 20 on the Korn Ferry Tour and then go and just eat up the FedEx Cup fall when that season comes along. But curious to see what he ends up doing.
I think that's
Shane.
I mean, if I was in charge of it, that'd be the path, Johnson, is to stay Korn Ferry, play those consistent golf tournaments. He's played well at the season-ending events, did that last year as well. Obviously, the Korn Ferry Tour Championship changing golf courses this year. But I think at 13, you're in a very comfortable spot on the KFT to get your card if you simply play consistent golf and have a couple top 10 finishes to close out the year.
Yeah, and the Korn Ferry Tour ends the weekend of October 8th through the 11th. And after that, there's still five events on the PGA Tour. So lock up your card. You cannot – I've seen it time and time again. Ryan Gerard a couple years ago, players that have been in 126 to 150 over the years. If you try to straddle both tours, it's a good way to find yourself on the outside of both. So you got the five events at the end of the season on the PGA Tour after the Korn Ferry season. Go get inside the top 100 then and improve your status. But make sure you have some decent status next year on the PGA Tour. Stay on the Korn Ferry.
First time I heard the word sick dropped in an interview with Amanda this year. So shout out to Blades Brown for that. I like that a lot as well. Obviously leaning into the teenage years. All right, we're going to take a break. And I think everybody's probably been focused on this. I mean, we got majors upcoming. The LPGA goes to Riviera soon. So it feels like a perfect time to talk President's Cup. That's what we're going to do after the break. Look deep into the U.S. and internationals. We are 118 days and change away from Medina. So President's Cup talk after the break.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
All right, fellas, during the Texas swing, we're going to talk President's Cup. An event that goodness, I wish it was better than it is. I just wish it was more competitive or more interesting. It just simply is not that. I do have some stuff I want to float y'all's way in that, in the terms of what we might be able to do to this event. Obviously, it's this year, U.S. Versus the internationals. We got Brant Snedeker and Ogilvy going at it. Top six on both sides qualify. Looking at the standings right now, kind of surprising, really, when you look at the American side. This is going to shock you, Scotty. It leads the points list on the American side, more than almost doubling up Cameron Young. But you got Cam Young second. He'll be on the team. Feel like Ben Griffin will be on the team. I think surprising he's third right now. Henley fourth, Colin five, JJ's there at six, Goddard up seven, JT's eight, Xander nine, Jacob Bridgman 10, Harris English 11, Akshay is 12, and just outside the top 12 is Sam Burns, Maverick McNealy, and Patrick Cantlay. Patrick, I want to come to you first. Which of these guys outside of that top six do you really want to see on that team in a few months?
It's none of them, Shane. It's none of them that you mentioned, and it's a guy who's not even a PGA Tour member right now. It is Patrick Reed. You've got to get him back into the fold. He's going to be eligible to play during the fall on the President's Cup. If Brant Snedeker has the courage, Patrick Reed will be on this U.S. President's Cup team.
I mean, I just love that idea. That's a great idea. Captain's pick, put him on the squad, see what he can still do. Spieth likely, you know, not, I mean, unless he gets picked, not going to make the team. But you could throw Reed out there with somebody maybe young. Johnson, Patrick Reed's a guy you'd love to play with in these events. The way, I mean, you hit it offline, he's going to be fine. You hit it in the fairway, he's going to wedge it close. Like, it feels like the perfect team member to play golf alongside.
I mean, you miss the green as well, and he's going to – an alternate shot, he's going to get it up and down for you. He's going to leave you a close putt. I want to see Brooks Koepka, though. I think Brooks is going to have a nice run, and these final two majors are really going to – they're really going to sort of dictate who is in that top six. I think as tight as 3 through really 10 are on those standings, I think the volatility is going to be wild as we get into the last couple majors of the year.
Johnson, one of my rules on the President's Cup that I think would be really smart for the American side, which obviously has struggled in terms of the Ryder Cup, is I feel like you have to play a President's Cup before you can tee it up in a Ryder Cup. And there is so much opportunity for guys like Bridgman, obviously Goddard up. You go down the list, I mean, an Akshay, players like that who are young and extremely talented. And I think you could give opportunity to get the feels, find that, you know, future partnership that we have seen on the international side that's been successful and it's kind of carried on from cup to cup to cup. I just think there should be a stepping stone. And I know they don't work together, but I feel like the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup needs to start to work together to make this more beneficial, because we all know the Ryder Cup's more important and it's a bigger event. But I also think that gives something different to the President's Cup if you throw out the young guys. Think about Tom Kim. Think about Max Homa, you know, getting an opportunity to play in these things and they quickly become the stars.
Yeah, I talked to Jim Furyk at the PGA Championship. He came on my radio show, and I asked him basically that question. Will you have any say in the picks that Brant chooses? So maybe you guys can talk about trying some guys out. And he's like, well, obviously I'll have communication with Brant. We've worked together on teams in the past, but he's like, this is his cup team. And as media and as a, you know, someone that wants more competition than this, I obviously want us to go out there and try out some young guys, but Brant Snedeker's not thinking that way. He's going to put the best 12 people he can out there, because it's getting to a point now, if you are a losing President's Cup captain on the American side, that's going to be a real gut punch. And so I think these captains, Brant is not going to do anything that's going to make it better for the Ryder Cup team. He is solely focused on winning this President's Cup.
I mean, there lies the issue, though, right there, to your point, Wags. That's the issue, is the fact that there's no creativity, little to no conversation between the two cup teams, if you will, and the fact that, honestly, Patrick, what's the benefit of being a President's Cup captain on the American side right now? If you win, you're supposed to, and if you lose, you're the guy that lost the President's Cup for the Americans. It doesn't feel like feels like a lose-lose, not a win-win.
I'm also kind of curious with, you know, what does Rolap think of this event, Shane? You kind of just mentioned what everyone's thinking, where it's not as highly touted as the Ryder Cup, but it's pretty much the exact same thing. They just have an extra day of competition, and if I'm Rolap, I'm looking at who can even play in this event, and I'm like, why are we excluding most of the marketable guys on the PGA Tour, all the European players? And so I wouldn't be surprised if within, you know, the next decade, however long Rolap's tenure is, if he shakes this up a little bit, because the current trajectory that we're going on, we talked about the U.S. team, the international team is bleak. It is very, yep, very bleak. If Rolap doesn't try to spice something up, whether it's a change of format or a World Cup-esque type of thing with this event, just because I think the current road it's going down, it's not a good one when you have the Ryder Cup staring at it right in the face.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, I mean, we can look at the international team in terms of the top six. Siwoo is the top of the board right now, I think, as would be expected. Siwoo's played incredible, consistent golf this season. Hideki's right there. Minwoo's three. Jason Day, four. Adam Scott, five. This feels like I'm just repeating the teams from the last few years in terms of the International President's Cup. Nico Echevarria, six. Corey Connors, seven. Ryan Fox, Johnson, I know you're excited about Foxy at eight. Hitsatsune is at 9, Nick Taylor 10, Sungjae 11. I think Pat Geeter at 14 is interesting, and Hao Tong Lee's played some solid golf as of late, now moves up to the 15th position. But again, this isn't that exciting in terms of you're looking at a lot of guys that the history and their history at this event is to lose, right? Adam Scott, Jason Day, you know, Siwoo, that group of players, Tom Kim, nowhere to be seen the way he's been playing golf as of late. I know a lot of people beat the drum on this, Johnson, but you know, six PGA Tour players, six LPGA Tour players, and you can mix them any way you see fit for the President's Cup, I think makes that, if nothing else, different. And I think that would be fun. And it also makes the international side immediately stronger when you do that in terms of what these teams look like. But rolling out 12 versus 12 right now, it feels exciting the first couple of days. Then I feel like whatever's happening on the weekend, if it's football or beyond, fans, sports fans, even golf fans at time can lose a little bit of interest.
Well, I mean, I think when you look at the biggest destruction of the creation of LIV Golf, it's the International President's Cup team. I mean, you had reigning Players Champion and Open Champion leave for LIV the week or two before the President's Cup at Quail Hollow for Captain Immelman. I mean, Joaquin Niemann, we all know what kind of star this young man could be. Like the captain structure of Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, like the internationals were making a run specifically, I think, to like Ernie Els and his captaincy when he was, you know, creating the Shield, and they had this momentum, and then it just got completely cut off with LIV. And I think had things been a little differently, I think we would have seen much better President's Cups the last two renditions. And if LIV ultimately goes away at the end of this season and these guys start coming back to the PGA Tour, I think we got to give Medina a chance. I think Jeff Ogilvie is going to be a fantastic captain. And then let's see if these guys come back and the internationals have some of these young stars available to them again. And maybe that's what Rolap should look at. Let LIV players play. I mean, if Ogilvie wants to pick a Cam Smith, let him come on. That would make it better.
Of course. I mean, I think it'd be silly not to allow. I mean, Niemann should be on this team every year, obviously. And I mean, you obviously think about some of the other players. I mean, these guys do make the event better because they're simply better golfers. And Patrick, when you think about the President's Cup, it's not the top four or five names typically that lose these things for the international players. It's that bottom four or five names where the talent massively drops off. And obviously filling the roster on the international side with just more talented players is going to give the team a better chance of winning, because it's a longer event and you've got to play your 10, 11, 12 guys more than you do typically on a Ryder Cup.
I think Pendrith was a bagel boy there at Quail Hollow. He had a tough go about it. And then, you're forced to put like Adam Scott and Hideki together against Scottie Scheffler or some of the big names on the U.S. team. And so you're kind of in between a rock and a hard place where it's like, okay, let's try to pick off a point against their best guys with our best guys, but it never ends up going well for them. I will say, to the internationals' credit, they're down, 5-0 in the first session last year, and they came back and swept them after that to tie it up after the first two. So I guess it has been a bit more competitive, and the U.S. team just tends to run away in Sunday singles because that's what we do. But it's a tough competition during football season, after the Ryder Cup, and without the Rorys or the Roms or all the Europeans who obviously can't play in this event. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of inclusion with those bigger names down the road. Not anytime soon, but kind of down the road. I'm looking at that.
And Wags, I'm assuming if you're an American superstar that plays in these team events every year, I'm assuming there is a feeling at times that this is more of an obligation. I mean, it's 4 days, end of season, you're a bit tired and you've played in five cup teams or six cup teams. I'm assuming there is that sensation that I'm playing this because I'm obligated to play in it. And it probably does lose a little bit of its excitement when that is the case. Not to say they're not excited when they get out on the golf course or when they are competing, but I think the idea of it after a long year can probably start to beat those big names up a little bit.
And I also raised that question to Jim Furyk last week or 2 weeks ago, because, yeah, they have to be. I mean, Tiger and Phil even said it back in the day. It is an obligation. And I think what makes the European side and Ryder Cup so hungry is they get to do it every 2 years. They don't have to do it every year. But Jim immediately refuted that, as a captain should. But it's not an easy week for these guys, either the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup, because there's a lot of galas and there's a lot of forced functions that they have to go and do that they get to go and do. I'm sure they're fun, but it's not the normal week. It's not the normal way they prepare themselves. And you add all the stress and pressure. It's like playing two or three tournaments in one in a condensed time frame. And yeah, I think there's got to be fatigue from the American side playing every year, for sure.
Probably a lot of palate cleansers at those galas, by the way. Wags would be very involved into that. All right, Vander, we're going to take a break, come back. We're going to talk Chuck Schwab. We're going to Colonial this week. PGA Tour rolls on. Interesting names in the field. We'll give our picks and all that here in just a bit.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Casino.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
We are moving on. Charles Schwab chat. We're obviously going back to Colonial Johnson, a golf course that I feel like it's withstood the test of time. Is that fair to say?
It absolutely has, Shane. One of my favorite places of all time. Obviously, Gil came in after the 2024 Colonial and completely renovated the golf course. I have not set foot on the ground yet on this new property. I covered it last year, and it looked great, but it's like we were talking about with Craig Ranch. It clearly on television last year looked like it needed a little bit more time. Well, now we have it. I cannot wait. I'm going to go walk some holes tomorrow afternoon and check it out. When you talk about places that have a three-hole stretch that have great names, 3, 4, 5 at Colonial, the Horrible Horseshoe, is one of the greatest of all time. 4 is one of the toughest par threes you can play. And then 5 runs along the Trinity River. And I think Gil cleaned out a bunch of trees so you can actually see some of the river now. And then 8, the par three that used to be kind of a whatever par three, cool hole. Now he's moved it over to this ravine to the left that matched the original design that was over on the Trinity River. So I think Gil is so creative when he redoes golf courses. And I know he didn't take out a ton of trees there. It's one of those places when you get on the grounds at Colonial, you know you're someplace really special. And it's going to be a great week, as it always is in Fort Worth.
Patrick, it's a place where, I mean, drive and accuracy is a big part of the success, typically for players that have had success at Colonial, gone on to win there. Not necessarily the best field that we have upcoming here at the Chuck Schwab, but I think, like we saw last week, so much potential for guys to pick up a lot of points and move up the board. This feels like that back-to-back week stretch where if you're having a bad year, you might as well turn it around in Texas.
And I think between the greens, which are small, and the landing areas and the fairways combined, it's got to be some of the smallest landing areas in terms of ball striking these guys are going to face all year. I am curious to see. I know the number of drivers hit off the tee have kind of upticked in recent years just because, you know, everyone's push it forward. Doesn't matter if you're going to hit the fairway or not. Just get it down there as far as possible. I'm curious to see if that continues down that trend line. But I'm going to push back, Shane. I think this field rocks. I'm pumped to see a lot of these guys. I think it's a big week. I think it's a big week for Ludvig Åberg. He's the clear belle of the ball, I think, coming into this field. He's playing some really good golf. And it's time to get off the schneid. He hasn't won in over a year now. His golf has been way too good for that to be the case. And then you add in Russell Henley, Ben Griffin, J.J. Spahn, huge President's Cup implications, as we just mentioned. Ben Griffin number 3 there in the standings there, and so I'm pumped for this field on a great golf course like Colonial that Johnson laid out perfectly.
Patrick, I'm hoping you're getting that Charles Schwab check coming your way if you're saying this field rocks. I don't think it's a bad
I'm an RBC guy.
Okay. All right. I just rocks was a little extreme there, but it's fine. We'll get into the field here in a bit. Spahn, Henley, Ludvig's there, Bobby Mack, JT, Ben Griffin, Hideki, Akshay, just some of the notable names. I'm assuming those names will make our can win, can't win list. We're going to take a break and roll that out. Wags had to really think about who's not going to win this after Wyndham finally gets the dub. So we'll roll out our picks for the Chuck Schwab after the break. Johnson, I'm going to start with you. Who's not winning this week?
And then the last one, I've been saying it all year, Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark.
My final can't win, Patrick. This is going to be shocking to you, but it's Wyndham Clark. Wyndham Clark.
He's sitting in the 9th alternate spot, so I got to put him on there. Wyndham Clark cannot win this week.
And then Wyndham Clark. Just have to.
Well, I Wyndham Clark, for sure.
I got you. You're at a loss for words right now.
Shane and I talked about it last week. He thinks that I can continue to ride Wyndham until the U.S. Open, and then once the U.S. Open's done, I can't do it anymore.
And Wyndham Clark wins in Texas.
Oh, it's just the best. I mean, it's the best. The absolute best. Gotta change our can't win picks, Wags. We gotta lay off Wyndham Clark at this point. It closes with 60, picks up that first victory of the season, trending at a good time in the year. But obviously, as we look at the Charles Schwab, a lot of options here. I'm gonna let you cool off for a moment. I'm gonna let Patrick throw out who he doesn't think is gonna win this week. Who's not gonna win to start, Patrick?
I'm going to go with Robert McIntyre. I don't think the golf gods have forgiven him for his transgressions there at Augusta National. I think he's still going through some penance that he needs to repay, so not going to win this week. Akshay Bhatia's fallen off a little bit. Kind of like him more on wider golf courses maybe. But I'm a little concerned about him. But Johnson was saying he might need a new guy to potentially peg as his can't-win superstar. I'm going to nominate Ben Griffin for him. Just been getting too many commercials of Ben Griffin recently, and about how he had, you know, $17,000 of credit card debt, comes back, wins 3 times on the PGA Tour, a super inspiring story. But just too much screen time for him, I think, right now, and I think he's not going to go back-to-back this week.
By the way, 17,000 in credit card debt. Like, I mean,
that's nothing.
It's like my whole, that's like my whole 20s. What are we doing here?
Call me. Like,
yeah,
pump those numbers up.
All I was doing, like, most of my life. Wags, who do you feel like's not winning this week?
Well, I just changed one of them out for Bobby Mack. I think Bobby Mack, that's a great call. The way I'm all on board with that. Hideki, I think you're going to see some pretty healthy, jumpy, thick Bermuda rough. I think Hideki, too erratic off the tee. He's not getting it done this week. And Ludvig Åberg, I know he's the belle of the ball, as you said, but I think that he's just not winning yet. And until I see him do more things Sunday coming down the stretch, I'm going to put him on my can't win list.
Wags, I'm with you on a couple of the same names. I got Hideki on mine. I got Ludvig on mine. I got Keegan on mine as well. I was kind of looking near. I always look near the top of the odds list, and I was surprised by some of the names in the top 10 this week in terms of who they feel like can win. Keegan was higher than maybe I thought he was going to be. So Keegan right there as well. All right, so who is going to win? Wags, who's winning? Who do you think is going to take home this trophy?
Well, I've got to push back on Patrick McDonald here a little bit. Ben Griffin is on my can list. Absolutely. I think it's a perfect golf course for him. He's starting to play better. I think Ricky Fowler, he's going to be hitting tons of mini drivers around this golf course. He's going to be threading it in there. He's going to be a factor. But the guy who's winning it is Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas is coming back. He's going to be erratic, but he's going to get it around those greens. He's going to get it up and down. Justin Thomas is going to win with a lot of flair this week.
Interesting. Got to drive it a little bit better than we've seen recently from JT, really, in his career. But if he does that, I think not a terrible pick. Obviously, the most popular name, I feel like, in the field. Patrick, who do you feel like is winning this week?
Speaking of flair, I got Tony Finau. Said he's going to win a tournament this summer. Hopefully, it just comes this week. I think it's technically would be the summer. I'm not quite sure of the dates. Maybe a little too early.
We're
Andrew
close
Novak played. He plays his golf course as well every year, it seems like. Played well at this place last year. And iron plays looking a lot sharper. And then the winner this week, a guy who already won in Texas this year, a guy who was one of your 150 picks for the PGA Championship, Shane, is going to be JJ Spahn. He's going to win this week at Colonial. I think the miscut at the PGA is fine. We're not going to take that into account. Before that, playing some really high-end golf.
Might pick him at Shinnecock. Just wait and see. Save this space for a little bit. I don't hate him. I don't hate him at the U.S. Open. Once again, don't have him on my can win pick list this week. I got Akshay on my list. I think players can win. Would like to see him turn it around, drive it relatively straight, find some fairways. We'll see what can happen. You know me, Patrick. I'm always going to lean into Ariel, my guy.
Love it.
The outfits just get more ridiculous, I feel like. The hat's getting worse.
Hat gets bigger.
I think it's shrinking. Is it getting bigger or smaller? I can't tell.
I think
it's like
bigger.
Halloween.
He's looking like Toad from Mario.
It's barely on. Hope there's not a lot of wins in Fort Worth. Ariel on my can win list. But my pick, one of the favorites, Russell Henley. Just feels like a great golf course. Wags for Henley. I think Russell could go out there and get this done. It'd be nice to see Russell pick up a victory before the U.S. Open.
Yeah, it's a perfect venue for him. I should have thought a little harder about that one, Shane. Good job.
It's okay. It's okay. Wags, you got golf set up this week. You're playing with some potential super duper stars this week. Who you got?
Yeah, Thursday, Colts invited me to play with Scotty, Jordan, and Siwoo. We're playing a little five ball.
What a five ball. Unbelievable.
You guys have
That's going to be great. We got to get an update on how that goes down come next Tuesday. Of course, Charles Schwab Challenge Saturday, 3:30, Sunday at 3 Eastern. We'll be back next Tuesday for Scorecard.
Paramount Podcasts.